Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
In the background, the legendary, the late, great tenor saxophone icon, John Coltrane. The song, Dear Lord. And it's our intro into not only the show, but opening prayer to the one and only true God. Dear God, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God. Thank you for blessings unseen, unknown, and all undeserved. We thank you, dear Lord, that the man once said that although we do not live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live in the park. And as I heard a lady once time pray, you are God all by yourself. Thank you, as my mother always said, that we're here clothed in our right mind. And more importantly, Lord, we ask you that your will be first, foremost, and done at all times. And we come before you and thank you, dear Lord, for you are the one and only true God. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. 90 minutes right here. We're going to talk basketball, football, baseball, and just talk in general. The crew will be coming in. The Steno baby, Lois Harold Weston Jr.
I'm here.
And also Lady A should be jumping in. Dusty, I've told you this 207 times. Actually, that's 237 times. I can see you on the thing. I'm not blind like you are. I know you're here.
Well, you said I'm here. He should be here. Well, I'm here.
I said he will be. You know, this is something to like kind of give you an intro. You know what I mean? To let the fans know that you're coming. But I guess since you know that you're probably down to your last three fans now. You know.
I only have three fans. Me, myself.
Oh, hey, Dusty, you lost Bernard Hopkins last time.
Oh my goodness!
It is always good to be with this crew, and it was amazing too, Dusty. As though the consensus was, this is Bernard's fight. The consensus was. Bernard was going to come out in the school. And the consensus was that B-Hop would do it one more time. But there was questions, and the biggest question to it, Harold last week reiterated before, during, and in the closing of the show, is that Ted Dawson just doesn't do enough in the course of the fight. And Jamie Harris, the outstanding and great sports writer for the Amsterdam News, And we talked about this too after the Chad Dawson Pasquale fight, who in the words of Marion Boykin, Pasquale has proven to be, and we're talking about Marion Boykin, we're talking about Marion B. Boykin. The B stands for Black Bodacious Brilliant Brother, greatest boxing show in the history of mankind, and the greatest boxing mind of our time, Marion Boykin, who brought to the world working on boxing. And that stands by itself, the greatest boxer ever. And we saw in that fight, Dusty, that Dawson, as me and Jamie were saying, anytime he pressed the issue against Pasquale, he dominated the round in the fight, and then he would just simply stop. Similar, Dusty, to what was said about Cloudy when he fought, and you were the one who brought it, when Cloudy fought Pacquiao, when he pressed the issue, when he threw the jab, he was hurting Pacquiao. He was offset. He was dominating, but he didn't continue to do it. So the consensus was that Bernard would once again add to his victory total and against Dana in the sport of boxing. Now, I saw in Dawson finally a guy who was younger and that could fight. It seemed that the best we were ever going to see out of Kelly Pavlik was, and I've always said that, and you kind of agreed with me a little bit, was the fight he won before Jermaine Taylor against Mercado that got him the title shot against Jermaine Taylor. And then Jermaine Taylor was a very good showing after his best ever showing, and then he beat Taylor again, who, as we've seen now, it really was no big thing to beat. But, I've always said this, and there's only three guys that ever entered the ring, and in my mind, that were unbeatable. The first, Ali, which, as Marion Boykin always said, the great Marion Boykin, Marion B. Boykin, brilliant, bodacious, and a brother, said, you do Ali in trilogies, and the first one nobody beat, undefeated heavyweight champion, fifth of this title, undefeated.
Greatest heavyweight of all time, Doc.
Lou Rooney wasn't going to beat him. The second guy who was unbeatable was Duran at 135. 72-1 when he fought Leonard. Left that fight 7-3-1. The one fight he lost was to the late, great Esteban de Jesus after being in a car wreck the week before. And then Walker Smith Jr., a.k.a. Sugar Ray Robinson, who was 77-0 before he got a title shot, okay, and then didn't lose his first fight until he lost to a middleweight. He was 94-0. Those three guys were unbeatable. So I didn't see where Bernard was unbeatable and all that stuff, but you are upset because you saw not only a horrible display, but you saw some Ortiz. Bernard Hopkins was looking to quit.
Well, first of all, Dawson did not win. He didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was, like Little Mel Coco, body slam.
And that's exactly, when that happened, Dusty, that's exactly what I was thinking. It looked like a move. Seriously, this shows how great Dusty is, and I want your listeners and, all the listeners in the Sports and Depth Nation.
Hold on. Let me say this again. Coco, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Sports and Depth, the Doc Stanley Show. Dusty, I noticed something now. Both of y'all got these off-green tights on tonight. I guess you're back together again, the Slam and Bam team, huh?
Yeah, we're tag team tonight, Doc. Me and the great Dusty, we're on the tag team.
Wait a second. I got to step in there. I got to be with Doc now.
I was only making a comparison because of the fact that neither of them did anything. Bernard, I think, even before, as he was walking out the dressing room and went through the motions in the first round, realized, I can't beat this guy.
Wow.
I can't beat this guy. And he was trying to find an angle, which Dawson gave him, to get out of the fight, just like Ortiz did with Mayweather when he butted him.
Mm-hmm.
And walked into Mayweather to get hit. Mm. And he threw that right hand as Dawson did on Mayweather and doubled down, and he went on his back, and Dawson turned around and slammed him. And it wasn't much of a slam. He just slid under the ropes, and on his left elbow, all of a sudden, I thought it was a baby nursery. Oh, my elbow, my shoulders, I can't. I said, are you kidding me? It looked like a curving throw with Paul Williams.
I got this morning as I got up, and Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel Sports and Depth, the show Lady A is here. Mel Smith, a.k.a. Rooney, a.k.a. Lulu Coco, the Stadium Baby Lois, and I believe Harold Weston is with us too. Harold, you here? Okay. So who's my other caller then? I got Harold. Hold on, Dusty. Hold Dusty. Lady A, Dusty,
yes.
Harold.
Yeah.
Harold, you here? Okay, I got an extra call. What I'm saying, go ahead, Dusty, real quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he's out there groveling on the canvas, and the canvas And Pat Russell, the referee, says, no, he didn't get thrown down. He fell down, and he's hurt. And if he can't come up, he's out. He loses by a TKO. And I'm saying, oh, my God. But he kept saying, look, all of a sudden Hopkins became an orthopedic. Look at the bone on my shoulders coming out. It's lumpy. I can't move and I can't move. But if the man was that injured, I think they would have put a harness on his neck or stretched him out of the canvas like they did to Currency Throne. Instead of, he got up standing there on the after they counted him out, walking around with his arm in some little fake sleeve and with Stooge putting ice on his shoulder. And I can't move my shoulder. Then he's telling his dudes, put some more ice on my neck.
I did get a report this morning as I got up, and I got a report from Kelly Swanson, Kelly, First Lady of Boxing, and lovely Lisa, where after going to the hospital, it was diagnosed that he did have fact that I think I sent a copy to you, Jesse, and to Lady A.
Yeah, it's dislocated. Total dislocation.
Yeah, it was
right.
The little bone with a dislocation of the shoulder, validating, that the injury did happen. Okay.
But Doc, also,
well, my question is, what orthopedic he paid off? That's all I mean, because if the man was injured, let me tell you something. I've been in enough injuries to know that if it was that severe, he would not be walking around and they just put ice, and it doesn't, and look at my, nothing. It's a three-penny act. But
last night,
my attitude,
Tony Fade,
the
first ever African American president of the Boxing Writers of Association, still one of the last
few
boxing guys who brings some boxings on radio here. He had our good buddy Tim Smith on, and he asked Tim if there's any way he would cover the Bernard Hopkins and Chad Dawson rematch. And Tim said the only way he would cover it is it has to be in Aruba.
Yeah, well, that's great. The Doc will be a snooze fest.
Aruba with pina coladas on the side. But,
I mean, it'll be a snooze fest. But, Doc, my take on this is this, okay? First of all, it shows how brilliant Dusty is, because that's the first thing that I thought of when I saw it. I'm like, wow, they're using WWE moves, body slam, ropes, oh, my goodness, they're taking a page out of my book. Secondly, I thought that the referee's ruling was absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that should have been a no contest.
No contest. Mm-hmm.
You know, right away a no contest.
But let me interrupt. But you see, in California, they did the same thing to Cintron. If you cannot come out, they're not going to give a no contest. They're going. You lose the fight. You lose the decision. That's why it was handed over to Paul Williams. They did the same thing last night. In California,
well,
they're being
over. I could see that being overturned, Dusty, upon review.
Yes.
Well, it hasn't.
First of all, Dawson's going to be considered the winner. So now you're going to have to try to overturn the review. Now, what Dawson's going to say, what Dusty is saying, hey, by California rule, and guess what? We're fighting California. That's the rule. I win. I'm the tiger.
Exactly.
I got the belt, and. You know, for all intents and purposes. First of all, you know, who wants to see Bernard Hopkins fight anyway? The guy is a horrible pay-per-view, so outside of Dusty. And, but the real serious fight fan is going to watch that fight. So who's going to see him fight on pay-per-view? The best fight he's ever had was the Tito Trinidad fight in the Garden and the fight 2 Octobers ago against Kelly Pavlik in Atlantic City. So nobody really wants to see the fight again. And now, what's embedded in everybody's mind is, wow, he's an old man. What question? I've got another call. Who joined me? Is that you, see, Harold?
Yes,
that
it is.
Harold!
Yeah,
there
you go.
What's going
there
on?
You go.
Yeah.
Hi, Harold.
Doc, you got to understand something here.
Go ahead, Dusty.
Bernard Hopkins lulled us into sleep as per the fact that he's an old man slapping around the young kids, and he'll be on top for long. I believe that he was going to take Dawson to school like he did to Kelly Pavlik, like he did to Tarver.
You stick by what you think, but that's the falling to the purposes.
Doc,
he didn't have the time.
But, Doc, let me finish. Based on the 2 slapping rounds that he gave Pascal, he was believable. he was believable. Here's this old man, uses all his skills and all that, like the old mongoose, and he's taking these young kids. And plus the fact, Dawson is no showstopper. He looked bad in the semifinal when the Hopkins beat Pascal. In all his 31 fights, he's never looked impressive, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tomas Adamek almost killed him in the 10th, 12th round. I mean, Glenn Johnson, the Road Warrior, almost slapped him around. I mean, Antonio Tarver, in his last days, slapped him around. So he never was and never is,
impressive.
In my opinion, an mm-hmm. impressive fighter. So I figured Hopkins, with his newfound skills, solely of the Bill of Goods of the Brooklyn Bridge, and I believe that he could do it. And I rest my case on the street.
I've also, since you brought the Brooklyn, I've got the Williamsburg. We'll talk about that one in the morning.
I'll buy the Williamsburg if Hopkins fights Winky Wright again.
Harold Weston Jr., you've seen it all. The greatest matchmaker in the history of MSG. He thinks Teddy Brennan's the best. Some people think he's the best. Bernard had impressed all. Dawson had not impressed anybody. Didn't seem to come fully prepared, fully motivated. And then what happened last night. How your thoughts and reaction?
I didn't even see the fight, tell you the truth. I wasn't even interested.
There was no fight, Harold.
I know.
Harold,
I mean, you know, it's getting bad to the point that these guys are getting paid so much money, and they're getting old, but they're trying to they're bailing out so quickly, like you know, they don't want to get hurt because they don't want to lose that money that they're getting ready to make. And Bernard is in that category where he is just trying to get as much money as he can. You understand? Here's a guy came out of prison, man. And now he's on top of the world. He's made millions of dollars, and he doesn't want to get hurt at this particular time. Bernard, you know, he ain't had the biggest heart in the world anyway in boxing when he started. And the fact is that if he gets a challenge, then, you know, he looks for a bailout. And I think that if he was in prison and somebody threw his ass down, I don't think he'd have got back up and tried to fight somebody, okay? Him being in the ring, knowing that he can find a way to not take the beating from this young man, was the whole key for him to bailing out. And the bad problem about boxing today is one thing about it, and I know, go back on this, okay? We did not disqualify anybody in boxing back in the day. You didn't get disqualified in the United States, okay? You had to just fight or just get knocked out, one way or the other. But there was no such thing, no contest, and I disqualify you, and you know, we're going to go to the scorecards after four rounds. All that is garbage, okay? And these guys and these kids are playing the game of the rules that's out there today, which is garbage. They're making every kid and every young man, I'm going to say, a punk. And that's what's happened to them. Real punks. And they're trying to find a way not to go the distance or display themselves as men to be in a battle with another man. And that's what you're having here today. If they can find a way to do it, they're going to do it. And that's what Bernard did. He found a way. He fell out. He said, okay, my arm is broken, and it's broken in two parts. I can't move it. But still, he moved it. You know, but it's just ridiculous.
Harold, do you think that this is falls on the doorstep of the innate paperweight lame duck boxing commissions across the state? Because that's where I see
it. I think, you know, with me, if it was my show, I would have held his purse up, said we had to have a hearing, and all that.
Right.
And I did that.
Absolutely.
Now, the reason why I have a good show, I tell the guys at the weigh-in, if you do anything stupid, and I'm the one that's going to judge if I think the fight is not right, I will take your purse and give it to the boxing commission. We'll have a hearing.
Well, didn't you do that at the Garden, Harold? Didn't you do that?
Yes, I did. And you know, we had good fights, didn't we?
Tell us, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Great fights, Harold.
Right, because of the fact that the guys knew it, and the fact is that I'm not playing no games here. My thing is that people are spending hard money to come see you perform, to see you do a great show, and they're not coming to here to see lame brain people punk guys being bailing out because the guy hit him on the head or he hit him behind the head or hit him low one time. I mean, they're not there to see. They're here to see two guys. If your warriors fight, and that's what they're paying for. And
but that's
people
a good
cannot
point,
get
Doc.
Their, they can't get their money worth, then you don't need to get paid either. So I hold
your
purse up.
That's a great point,
exactly.
Doc, especially
let
with,
it go,
the, with the situation
the first lady
today.
Of boxing, Lady A. Go ahead, Lady A. Let it flow, girl.
No,
let
I was
going
to say, it's a great point for Harold to bring up, especially nowadays. I mean, people are hard up trying to, you know, make money and do what they got to do. You're putting money down for a fight. Step in the ring, either do what you're going to do or don't step in it at all.
Right.
Well, Lady A, let me ask you a question. Do you think that there should be a power from the commission to force Golden Boy and Hopkins to give the pay-per-viewers and the live audience back their money?
Because you know what? Hold up a second, though. Here's the thing, though.
I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, let me fight.
No, listen. No, I know, you know, I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing, though. I mean, you have to look at how he won the fight. How did Dawson win the fight? Because not for nothing. Listen, if he got hit by a straight right or hook to the body, okay, or got knocked out legitimately, I could see. But the guy just tackled him, and he fell out of the ring. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. How far are we going to keep going? And not only that, but then, you know, I have a beef with the referees, too. Because look what happened with Joe Cortez, and look what happened with this guy now.
Yeah.
I mean, my beef is with the referees as well. I mean, you're in the ring to make sure things flow the right way, you know? Mm. I mean, I have a beef. I have a beef with them now, too.
Right.
Look at the whole thing with Paul Williams. The Paul Williams fight,
to.
Too, though. What's the story with the referees and the judges? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the story with that?
And not only that, Lady A, but basically what it comes
down. The commission in Jersey suspended those three dudes.
True.
You know?
I mean, listen, Harold, not for nothing, Harold. I mean, come on. I mean, if it's legitimately something that's by the book, you know what I mean? I could see somebody ruling for a certain person. But if it's not by the book, I mean, the guy got tackled. You know, whether we want to sit here and argue that the guy was whack or he, you know, gave up or whatever, that's one thing. But, you know, we got to go by the rules, too. And I think that, you know, it's nonsense. I mean, what's going on with these ruling bodies?
Well,
you know?
You see, but also, Lady A, remember that practically the same thing occurred when Cotto fought Joshua Clowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And he not tackled him, but he knocked him off his shoulder. Clowdy went under the ropes with a headache and my neck, but he got up and fought back to the end.
Right.
Now, I mean, it could be a different orthopedic situation because now it's revealed that the x-rays, whatever x-ray said that he has a small fracture. I've seen dudes fight with one arm.
Right.
You got a guy to get up off the freaking floor. Looking like he's losing to all.
I think, when you get on the air, I think you have to understand, and I think Harold is understanding, and something you know, Harold can, they don't make them like you guys anymore. And here's the bottom line.
Oh, of course
panel,
not.
But here's the bottom line. You talk about these sanctions, but here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. If Antonio Margarito is still boxing, then any damn thing they want to do, they will do. Okay?
That's who you put on Margarito.
Antonio Margarito is still boxing, then they will do whatever they want.
And not only are you going to still be boxing, Doc, you're going to make big money on the Cotto fight.
I'll never forget Showtime telling me, you know, he says, we don't have a problem as him coming back. You know, okay, we can kind of deal with that. Maybe we could wrestle with it. Maybe we could somehow stomach it. But what gets us is this guy not only comes back, but he's fighting for the title.
But
Charlie Worley never got a shot when they dubbed Harold Weston for years. When Kenny Norton had to be given the belt, this guy gets a title shot and a big. So, Dusty. So, Harold, panel, don't talk about these sanctioning bodies because if this boy is still in boxing, which he is, anything can happen, as you saw last night, anything will happen.
Can I get it here?
Hold on, Sports and Depth, don't take it. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth with the show.
Got another call. Who just joined us? Okay, I guess they were listening in. But I mean,
but you
know,
got
Dusty,
to
that's the bottom line, Dusty.
Yes, no, no, but you got to understand what when I just finished telling Harold and Harold and I is the inept and the lame duck boxing commission, because how can New York State Boxing Commission, a person that we admire very much and we've spoken to, and New York having the most stringent boxing rules other than any other state,
but you
turn around.
You hit it on
turn
the head,
around and say, no, no, listen, and turn around and says, we'll take the report from the Texas Stadium or the Texas Athletic Commission, and
we'll
accept that as he's rehabilitated. When, man, my God, not only would the man not be fighting for a long
boy
time, but the fact is, the fact is that he will not be starting in any major. He will start like the preliminaries if he was back. Four-rounders in 10 counts. And that's
Dusty,
the weakness of a freaking commissioner.
You brought up a point, Dusty, that even makes this, it heightens what I said, and in the words of Harold Wesson, may I use it, Harold, sad and touching. This boy is not only going to fight for the world championship. This boy is not only going to make a huge payday. This boy is going to fight, and not only the greatest boxing venue in name now, okay, no longer as it used to be, the Temple of Boxing, but this boy is going to fight
MSG
in the number one city in the world.
Exactly.
It's sad and touching. He's going to fight in the number one city in the world. There are Martians on Mars who know what we're doing in New York City, okay?
But like I
and
said
this
to you
boy
before, Doc,
is fighting... Go ahead, Dusty.
Right. But like
no,
I said
no,
to you,
I
don't want to isolate anybody, but this is something that's near and destroying my guts. But you got to be analytical about why this boy, with all his political power, Bob Arum, Assistant Attorney General, and Jerry Jones, and all them political powers, including
Dusty,
Senator
Dusty, you know what? You're amazing. You just keep answering this question. You not only do you keep answering this question, not only do you keep adding information to this, but you are just showing how the political powers, you had a tremendous point. Bob Arum, Top Rank Boxing, New York State Boxing Commission. Wow. Don't stop now.
And in addition to that, you also got, Doc, you are a cop. I was an officer investigator. Lady A, you're a cop. When you deal with a criminal, you catch him in the act. You caught him in the first part of his criminality. That is what Margarito's ace in the hole is. He was caught dirty by Naveen Richardson. He didn't commit the crime. Go into the ring and possibly destroy Shane Mosley's career. And at the same time, he didn't commit the third plot, which was kill Shane Mosley. And you go back to Louis Resto, he committed the three sections of his crime. Dirty girls, he destroyed Billy Collins, and Billy Collins either killed himself or he died, even though to this day I firmly believe that Louis Resto was an innocent factor. He had no idea. That's
Dusty,
my belief, too, but that's my opinion.
You brought up a
but
tremendous
you got
point
to look at the mitigating
that I never
circumstances.
Saw. You brought
the
up a tremendous point here.
Hold on,
you brought up a point here. You brought up a point here that as now, and once again, as we, Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel, Sports and Death is the show. And once again, as I told you, I may be a little vain. I may be a little self-centered when I say this. I may be boasting. I may be bragging.
All of the above.
A, B, C, and D, all of the above. But you cannot touch my crew, okay? It was here on Sports and Depth that we told the world, okay, C-Wings, that, yes, Bin Laden was taken down by the Obama administration. It was Dusty last week who told you that this boy got a one-day pass to fight. And you said something here, too, that is opening to this, because Naveen caught him before robbing the bank. And he said, hey, you got a point here that you're right. That you're right because
but
he did
Doc,
not
look,
go.
Doc,
what,
Doc.
Dusty?
But ladies,
Doc,
I mean,
Doc,
ladies,
here's another thing.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Their answer, you're trying to tell me that Bob Arum's answer is to take a attaché case of the and put all the hand wraps in there. Did you hear this, Dusty? Put all the hand wraps in there that are going to be used to prevent this from happening again.
Oh, yeah,
this is
the
best that they could do?
As a sign
of good faith.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the best they can do. That's the best they can do now. That's the best they can
right.
to show that they're doing
the boxing,
something.
But in ADA, the boxing commission swallowed it like a Big Mac at McDonald's. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's super
This is their answer. Did you hear that, Harold? That's the answer. They're going to tie,
right.
they're going to put all the hand wraps in an attaché case to
right.
be open the day
yeah.
of the fight. That's the answer,
exactly.
Harold.
Who just joined us?
That's Harold.
No.
I'm here.
Okay, Lady A is here.
Sea Wings just joined us.
Okay,
good evening.
There you go. Come on in. Hey, listen. You can talk this week. The Jets ain't played yet. Don't worry. You hang with us. We're going to get to talk football in a minute, too.
That's all right. You're not missing anything with the Jets. Trust me.
But you know what? But this is a tremendous point, Harold. And Lady A and Sea Wings and Rooney that you brought, Dusty. And Dusty, you cannot understand how frightening this is to me. I had a colonoscopy. Thank God I don't have cancer and I still have some brains. This is frightening that we have continued to agree on. There are people who are going to think, I don't know, they're going to think we really like each other, Dusty. And this is really going to be horrible.
You guys got a man thing going on? I don't know.
You know what I mean? I'm shocked. What's that new term? You're not a hood buddy.
You got a man crush? Got a man crush on him now?
But you know, on the real Dusty. And well, listen. On the real, I love this crew dearly, your family and friends. But you brought a point again, Dusty, that really now that we look at it, and we know, you know, the boy shouldn't have this opportunity because. You know, that we didn't snag him with the Cotto move, but Miguel did say, it sounded like this boy, it feel like this boy is hitting me with concrete.
They fell hard at the eighth round.
Harold, I'm going to come with you with this. If Margarito was Don King's fighter and the allegation, or he had been caught like that, would he and Don King still be in boxing, Harold?
No, Don would definitely have been suspended, and Margarito would definitely have been out of boxing completely. I mean, it was a whole different. Bob Arum has been done a lot. Bob Arum has been caught bribing officials, and he's still in boxing. Okay,
wow,
that's a known fact. Okay,
yeah.
The fact is that Bob Arum has, you know, he's got a fighter that, you know, had lead in his gloves. And he's getting away with it. He's bringing the fighter to New York City. He already had the fighter fight for millions of dollars on network TV. The problem is that there's always two types of laws, and we always lived by it. I mean, no matter how much you try to cover it up, there's always two laws for two different types of people. Don't want to get into all that, but the fact is what it is. And the thing is that when one person walks against a red light and he gets locked up for 90 years for that, and the other guy goes and kills somebody and he don't get no time. It tells you that, you know, you got the laws are different in all kinds of ways as we look upon it. I mean, you know, you just look at it and you just say, this is a joke. But see, Aram is at this age that I don't even think about him no more. I don't even think about Don. They're 80 years old. The time is now lapped on them. Aram is only going to be here for the next, you know, 2 years, 3 years. Whenever Manny Pacquiao retires, that's when Aram is going out.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm the one of you, Harold. You're right.
Harold, and looking at his the fighters, I mean, he's got a plethora of guys that he's like, I mean, you look at his body, the amount of guys, I mean, every weight class, bantam, super feather, you know, junior welter. I mean, and he's got the top fighters. You wonder when he decides to throw it in the ring, like who's he going to be?
There's only one top fighter out there. It's really just probably two, but it's only really one. That's Manny Pacquiao. The other guys that if you take all the guys that you're running around here with belts, and take them all going down the street of Broadway. nobody will stop him for a damn autograph, okay?
Exactly.
Because nobody knows him.
Yeah, you're right.
All right? And my point is that you got a industry that's dying at the waistline right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't bring itself to another plateau and get rid of the arms and get rid of the system that they have been living, and the boxing commissioner does not change their method. I got to say one thing about Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give it to Tom down there.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the boxing commissioner, where he does look at the guys and making sure that the fights are really competitive, but he has his hand tied at times. But the fact is, he wants good fights.
Quality
fights. These guys today who's passing these guys is just letting them go by because they're friends with somebody and they're letting it happen and thinking they're doing the justice for the sport. Everybody is just trying to save a job. And they're saving their job because they're with the boxing commission. That's with the governor. And we know all governors today is trying to cut every kind of way of their expenses of hiring people. And so my point to this is that these boxing commissioners have no idea, and I'm going to say they have no idea what boxing is all about. They read it in the newspaper. They read it in the books, but nobody has no experience.
You got all these boxers
that nobody don't know nothing. And I'm going to say this right there. Anybody that's been in this box for 20 years, you still don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You've been taught wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. Because this is what you've been taught for 20 years. You've been taught by a teacher for the last 20 years, and you don't know nothing. And you have corrupted the sport, and you're still going down the wrong road.
Now, let me make this point, too, Harold, while you're talking. Let me make this point. That and Harold being a great promoter as well as a former great fighter as well as Dusty, that is part of the reason that boxing is losing so much of its audience to the MMA fighters,
right,
to the professional wrestling. Because people are tired. They feel like the last two pay-per-views with Floyd,
what, guys? I think we're losing focus.
One moment, lady. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that the fans who sell down, $55, $60 of the pay-per-view for Hoppin, they feel like, yo, they keep pulling the okey-doke. We put down our good money on it, and everything. We got the okey-doke. We got the punch. We got the punch with Floyd. We got the body slam with Hoppin. Yo, is anybody going to give us some play-fight money or not?
I think that just based on what you guys are saying, even me as a fan, and I'm taking myself out, you know, and I'm saying more as a fan, I think it's an accumulation of a lot of things. I mean, Harold, look, you're talking about from a promotional aspect, it's that. Then it's got the guys in the ring, the fighters that don't have the heart. Then it's the judges. Then it's the referees. Then it's, I mean, you could go on and on just stating certain things that need to change, Harold.
And Lady A, you're right. And the reason why I'm saying this, Lady A, the people that's in the sport today, they're the group that's been in it for 20 years. They don't know nothing. They've been taught by the king method. They've been caught by the Aram. This method does not work, and you've been taught wrong. And that's why the sport has been completely been demolished because of the way this has been brought upon. It's like a school teacher. If the school teacher is teaching you hate in the classroom and you're 5 years old and you're still learning that when you hit the 12th grade, you're going to learn about hate. Okay, that's what has happened in boxing. You've been taught how to know how to do stupid things in boxing, conniving things in boxing, instead of doing the right thing to make the sport stay on its feet. And
I
that's
agree,
what
100%.
I'm saying. And anybody that's been in this sport for the last 20 years, you know nothing. You don't know nothing. You don't know fighting. You don't know the rules. And you don't know how to bring a good sport, a sport that should put people on a plateau instead of bringing them downward, and the fighters being disgraceful because the fighters themselves has been to the point where they become punks. They have become completely punks. They think they're a tough guy, but none of them can fight. None of them can really fight. And I'm going to say that.
Because the record
does not speak for it.
Mm-hmm.
But
Harold, what do you think? What do you think? I'll pose a question out to you guys and Lady A. You really haven't seen that fighter with the pizzazz since Mike Tyson.
Tyson.
The question I ask the panel out there, and this is a real litmus test on the popularity of boxing. when was the last time you heard of anyone saying, "Are you going to come to my fight party?" When's the last time you ever heard of anyone throwing a fight party?
You're right.
Since Mike Tyson, right? Since Tyson fought, there were fight parties all over the place. Now, I look for them, and I don't even hear anyone saying they're throwing a fight party.
On the contrary, you hear it more MMA. You hear it more for MMA than you do for boxing.
You bring up a point, C-Wings, and I remember Emmanuel Stewart said one time, he said, you know, when Mike was in the game, he said he couldn't wait to get home on a Friday to see Mike fight. Didn't know who Mike was going to fight. We knew Mike was going to knock him out. Harold, you had Tyson. And, Harold West is a man. Always don't cut to the chase. I remember you had him the first time in the Garden, and you got things straight, Harold. And said, hey, you come to my house. I'm going to tell you, when are you going to fight? I'm going to pay. He fought the first fight because that was the night that they had the welterweight title fight between Milton McCoury and Donald Curry. But, you bring a point up. But you have long been saying this, Harold. But, you know, what is it, and if I'm cutting you off, see when you jump back in, but, you know, Harold, it's the same thing, too. I'm telling you that I told Dusty. This boy is in the game, the bodies. And you told me this. You and John Francis Xavier Condon, they told a story about Condon today. I'm going to tell two stories about Condon. Condon was the head PR guy, considered the greatest PR guy in box history. And Condon put up a ring up in Harlem, and the cops came over to John. They told John, where's the permit? And John said, well, I got to left at the office. He said, well, somebody got to get a permit. You know, we got to see the permit. So John hands a $20 bill to one of the guys he works for and says, look, I'll see you on Monday. Get out of here. So about 2 hours later, they come back to John, and they say, where's the permit? John said, well, you know, he should be back here soon. He said, I'll tell you what, buddy, you got 15 minutes, and if he's not here in 15 minutes, this thing is being tore down. And about 10 minutes later, a whole bunch of sirens start blasting. A limousine pulls up. Out comes Mayor Lindsay. John, I'm sorry I'm a little late. I'm ready to referee these bouts for you and your kid gloves match. Needless to say, the ring didn't get tore down. It made the front page of the Times, New York Times, a tremendous PR guy. And they tell the story about he wanted to put a little ring down in Little Italy, and he had to go down, like you said, Harold, speak to the powers that be, and the guy told him, don't worry, Mr. Condon, we will have it done. And he said, well, you know, the ring, the street's kind of narrow, the car's being parked. They told John, don't worry, that day, there'll be no cars on the street. And you told me, and John told me, and I think it was the same day, John came in, he said, Mel, I can't. So I'm down at Gleason's gym, and this guy is teaching the kid to throw a jab up in the air. And you came in about a half hour later, and you was griping about the same thing. Harold, is what you just said. You're taught wrong at an early age, and you're wrong all your life.
Right, and that's what's happened with a lot of these. That's what happened to a lot of these guys today. I mean, I'm running across it every time I talk to a guy. He said, I've been in the game for 10 years. And I said, yeah, you're still dumb. So what difference is that? Now what are you talking about?
Yeah, but you know what, Harold? You mentioned something on another show that kind of stood out with me also, which was one we've discussed
everything
in the past.
Everything Harold tells you stands out with you, young lady.
I know. I just love Harold. What can I tell you? Yeah. He said something that was kind of profound. And what he had said was, you know, what makes good fighters – okay, especially when you got these trainers that teach them the same thing, is their ability to have more than one fighting style.
Okay? Right.
Because once these guys are figured out, that's it. It's over for them. And you're sitting there, you're looking like, what's the story with this guy? He's supposed to be a great fighter. Good fighters are able to adapt. And like Harold said, they have more than one fighting style, because then when these guys turn around and they figure out, you out, that's it. You lost your championship. And what do you see with a lot of these guys now, Harold, is exactly, I mean, and I'm watching it, and I see it because I look for it. And as the second these guys have figured out, that's it, no more. So it has to do lot, too, with what you just said, Harold. They're training.
Lady A, the thing is that, and I think you hit the nail on the head everywhere, you didn't miss a slot. It's the fact that boxing, I go to training camp, and I know Harold's been to training camp. And you train and condition and you learn and your trainer tells you, you watch films, the whole nine yards.
Right.
preparing for this individual. You go in there, and it's a totally different story.
Right.
So what do I do with my playbook? Continue
right.
and get my the crap beat out of me, or diverse and
right.
change strategy in that ring?
Right.
And that's basically what a lot of these dudes don't know. They train to fight a certain way, and they go in there, they get the crap beat out of them, and they still fight the same way
well,
without
you know, the bottom
well,
line,
well,
that's
and they don't know how, and they don't know how to pull victory out of certain defeat. Because
well, look,
they
look
don't
at
have
time
to
out, time out, time out. Everybody calm down. Two things, they got to take a break here. Two things here. You know, Dusty, the reason why they let them get beat half to death, they're not that good from the beginning. My goodness. C-Wing. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We'll finish this off. Then we'll talk football, and we'll come back to a little boxing. Don't nobody move. Don't nobody say a word. Dusty, that means you too.
I'm holding my breath.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com. All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
And Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is a channel. Sports and Depth is a show. Had to play the disclaimer. We're also saying we do not agree with Dusty, but we have him on the show because... we were paid to have him. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Depth of the show. And it's always
Why,
so
guy.
Good to have the crew back here. JETS Jets tomorrow night. See, we'll get back to you for a minute. They're playing a big game tomorrow. They're back home. They're playing against the Miami Dolphins. The team, that's a funny team, you know, C-Wings. It's a team they seem to always be able to beat. And then sometimes as a team, they seem to not be able to beat. Giants won big today. And it was amazing to go into the Buffalo locker room and hear an opposing player say what the Giants were saying last week and what the Jets have been saying the last couple of weeks is that they were able to make the play, meaning the Giants today.
Yeah.
And the Giants said that last week about how Seattle was able to make the play, and the Jets have been saying that. C-Wings, what can we expect tomorrow from this Giants, I mean, the Jets in Miami game?
Well, first of all, the big headlines about the Jets was the turmoil you're in the locker room. You had, Santonio Holmes, a captain no less, going to the media and basically criticizing his team, which is really a no-no in the sport. I can't understand why he was named a captain. He was problems in Pittsburgh. They got rid of him. Usually when a coach makes a player a captain is not only someone who has the skills, but someone, a player that has character. Because when you look at a player that may have the skills to play and talent, but don't have the character, you'll find out what they're made of when the team seems to hit a skid like the Jets.
Right.
Three losses in a row. I mean, it was just going back and forth. I mean, you can't criticize your quarterback. The quarterback is the most important position in the NFL. And, I mean, you may have problems, but you wouldn't see guys like Lawrence Taylor, you know, talking about his quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't see, the guys of the 69 Jets talking about Broadway Joe. I think that
Coach Ryan, he's going to use this weekend to rein in his players, tell them to cut it out. Let's concentrate, get back on to playing a game of football, cut out this nonsense. And Doc, you saw it when we went to Baltimore that, I mean, you could feel the tension in the air. Sanchez was nowhere to be found. The players, for the most part, weren't given any interviews. I mean, I was able to talk to Santonio Holmes briefly, but you can feel the tension in the air between the players in that locker room. And, you know, if Ryan takes control of this locker room, you should see a big win tomorrow. What we need to do is the New York Jets is not allow Sanchez to be sacked by Jason Taylor, who was basically hated by the New York fans because he was known for his, I mean, he actually spoke out publicly that the disgust that he had for the New York area. I mean, the New York teams, their fans, specifically the Jets, I mean, which is ironic. He became a Jet for one year. And then he went back to Miami. I mean, we should pull out the victory tomorrow. We need it to keep our season alive. We need it to make a statement. Tomorrow is Mark Sanchez's platform. You know, he's being held to high expectations as well as the rest of the team. But this is the time that Sanchez, as a quarterback, as a leader, needs to show them that, listen, I am the future of the Jets. I'm your leader. We're down, we're out. Because if you look at it, this is the first time that they actually have to go through this early in the year. If you look at the first two seasons, you know, they did pretty well under Sanchez, a rookie quarterback, and a rookie head coach. But now this is the time. The Jets are a team without an identity. But tomorrow, I think, will be the turning point in the season.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something.
Hold on, Dusty. The two things here you brought up, and I think you have to listen, fans. You know, when Savage is talking, here's a guy that's well-respected in that locker room. I mean, it's a known fact that this guy is perceived as, not only does he know what he's talking about, but the word is out. You know, he's one of Coach Ryan's guys. He's respected him, and he likes him. And for San Antonio Holmes to talk to you last week after that game tells you a lot of the kind of respect that you've earned and the confidence that, because, you know, San Antonio doesn't talk to any and everybody. Now, you go back to the other thing here is, you know, if you remember, C-Wings, the tears coming from Jason's eyes, for all intents and purposes, it looked like his football career was done.
Mm-hmm.
There's new strength of energy from C-Wings.
Absolutely. That was the championship game last year.
Yeah, I mean, there was tears in his eyes. He really loved this team. He really loved playing for Coach Ryan. He loved the – and now you're telling me – I mean, where did this new strength or this resurgence of this disdain and dislike for the Jets come from?
I mean, I believe it was always there. If you look at his record, he played in Miami. Left Miami in a dispute with Bill Parcells.
Parcells,
to play for the Redskins, and then he ended up having to return back to Miami with his tail between his legs to play again there. He left again, came back to the Jets, who were willing to take a risk on him. Mm-hmm. Even though this guy has such disdain and publicly expressed it, I mean, he used to get into it with the fans as he went into the tunnel in Giant Stadium. I mean, for him, we cannot allow Sanchez, if he gets sacked tomorrow, anybody but Jason Taylor. I mean, it would be despicable if he did get sacked by Jason Taylor, who not only this year, he said that Sanchez was not a good quarterback. He said Chad Henne was a better quarterback than Sanchez, which I totally disagree. Henne win games.
Well, hold on, gang.
That guy right there is going to be going to end his career as probably one of the biggest busts in NFL history, I believe.
Who's that?
Chad, he's just not.
No, well, two things here, Chad. We're going to stay with football. Hold on, Dustin. I got some interviews to do.
But the thing is, as germane to what Seaweed's is saying, this is what I'm trying to tell you. That this whole jet has fallen apart because they are blunderbuss Rex Ryan. The leadership is the one that creates what the hell is going on here.
That's exactly what's going on. Excuse me, Doc.
Can we have him say that word again? I don't know. Is that in West's dictionary? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the family of a freaking whale.
It says She Dusty's dictionary.
but he actually has a point there. I mean,
he has a point. But the thing about Dusty, too, you know, Dusty can't leave the house. So he ain't got to face nobody. You know what I mean?
I don't give a crap what you're talking about, man. I have more insight than if I was in the house or the street. What I'm telling you is a reality.
I'm saying, calm down. What I'm saying is, you're wolfing the coach here, but
you
ain't going to see him. Hold on, gang. We're going to get back to coach in a minute. Let's go. Big game. Last week this time, we were talking about how the Giants had let one get away, and either the Buffalo Bills were coming in 4-1. The Giants are now 3-2. Bye week was coming up. Got into the locker room with the Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Fred Jackson. Man, what a beauty 80-yard run he did today. But let's listen to them talk as we can hear the opposition a little depressed this time. And we bring you some more live interviews from MetLife Stadium. And this is the quarterback of the Ivy League boy, too, man, Jesse, of the Buffalo Bills and the outstanding running back, Fred Jackson, who at halftime had 107 yards, and 80 of those were on a tremendous, beautiful run. But Ryan talks to the media.
They did not do it twice today. That was really tough. The touchdown by Naaman, just describe that play.
Yeah, Naaman, I mean, the guy makes you smile. I mean, he did a great job after he got the catch, but brought David in the backfield, and Naaman, just being a smart football player, he ran a route where they weren't, basically. I mean, to simplify it.
The zone coverage?
Yeah, they showed pressure and ran out, but Naaman found a hole, and, you know, I got a lot of trust in him, threw it to him, and then obviously he did the rest on the run.
You feel you guys are lacking downfield threat right now?
You know, that's funny because I hit Stevie twice on those goes, and we're not lacking the downfield threat. I mean, you know, I hit Stevie for the touchdown, we got a good big play by Naaman. Fred had a great 80-yard run or whatever it was. So I don't think that it really matters in terms of, you know, play action, throwing it deep every play. I don't think we need to be that. I don't think we are that. But I think, as you saw today, we've got guys that can make big plays if they get the ball in their hands.
Fred Jackson.
That was probably the longest run I think I've had ever. So
it was.
It took, you know, a lot, especially being the type of day it was. You know, it was a nice, bright, sunny day. So, yeah, I was a little winded, but, you know, I was able to come back.
Could you just describe that play and how your view of it at the line?
Our offensive line did a great job. You know, I got on the safety untouched, so they did a great job, you know, sorting out who we renamed the linebackers. So they did a great job getting a hat on a hat, you know, and I was able to get one-on-one with the safety and make a miss. And
did you feel like, just your reaction, you know, did you feel like you were going to win there? You're driving down, you're in scoring position there.
Definitely. You know, we felt like we could move the ball against anybody. And we had that opportunity. We just didn't finish it. So, you know, give them credit. You know, they made a play when they had to, and, you know, they got a victory.
That's where I wanted to end it. That's what the Giants and Jets have been saying these last couple of weeks, and losing in their clubhouse, their players saying, you know, the other team made a play when they had to. It's finally good to hear and good to see a situation where the opposition said they made a play when they had to, and they did. The interviews there, the last one you heard was Fred Jackson, 80-yard run in the first half that just kind of turned the whole game around there at that time. The Bills got up 14-7, and then the quarterback of the Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you know, the thing about Fitzpatrick, he's an Ivy League school guy, And he made
a good
point. You know, the media was talking about downhill threats. He said, you know, I threw two passes, guys catch him. The downhill touchdown, and there is no downhill deficiency, you know. But the Giants came up with the play. They're 4-2. They go into the bye week, and you know the thing I'm talking about here, two Sea Wings, and I remember leaving Giants Stadium last week with the three of the just most knowledgeable young men in football and sports. Jamie Harris from the Amsterdam News, Bobby Giles from Kiss FM and Latino Sports, Andrew Rosario. And Andrew, I told him that the Eagles had lost, and he said, they're out. I said, they're not out. They're not out. I said, you know, the Giants have left it open by losing today. All they have to do is start winning again. They won today. So now they're 2-4. They go into the bye week at a very good 2-4 team wings because they go in 2-4. Okay, they won a division game today. You know how big that is in football. And then you turn around, they play three home games in a row, Sea Wings, against division foes. When the smoke clears, they're 2-4. Let's say they win all three of those games. They're 5-4. Let's say they win two out of three. They're 4-5. But they very well could be, after the bye week in those three games, they could be leading their division, Sea Wings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, it today was very important for the Giants just as much as it's going to be for the Jets tomorrow to win. One, the Giants, if you look at their schedule after the bye week, the only real easy team that they have is Miami after that.
Yeah.
It's one of the most grueling schedules that I've ever seen in football history.
Okay, well, you know what? Dr. Kelly Sports, Steph on the Blake Video Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel, Sports Endeavor Show. Let's look at the schedule. You're right. They played at Washington. They had a home game in St. Louis. They beat Philly for the first time in a long time here. I mean, at Philly. They beat Arizona at Arizona. Lost at the Spackle last week to Seattle here. They beat Buffalo today. They're 4-2. They got the bye week. Now, you're right. You're right. After the bye week, they play Miami
at
home.
They're
going to
get their tail whipped.
But then, listen to this. They have to go to New England. Then the next week they have to go to San Francisco. Okay? Then after being roughed up and run over or whatever, they come home. And who's waiting for them? Michael Vick and the Eagles.
Wait, Doc. You said they're going to play San Francisco?
Hold on. Right now, I need your attention. What I need right now is everybody's attention, okay? Now, C-Wing said the schedule is tough. This validates it. They play Miami. I told you that, right? They play October, the day before Halloween, but then all hell breaks loose. They have to go to New England. They have to go to San Francisco. They come home to Philadelphia. You hear me? Then they have to go to New Orleans. They come home, and Green Bay is waiting for them.
Yeah, but, Doc.
And then they go to Dallas.
That's the schedule they have to deal with.
We're not talking about the schedule. We're talking about what Sea Wing said. They have.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with the man.
Schedule.
I'm trying to tell you that yes, they're facing a monster after a bye week.
Listen, wait. Can you guys just stop for a second? Listen. Did he just say they got to come back and play San Francisco? San Francisco just beat Detroit.
What I'm saying here, gang,
is the real deal.
Detroit is the real deal.
San Francisco's 5-1.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about, Sea Wings just said how tough the schedule is.
He heard what he said.
Okay.
And we understand that.
That's it. Then hear me again. Okay? And the thing here is, after Miami.
Oh, my
God. That's what he said. He said, after Miami, the schedule is tough. And he may have lied because the schedule is hellacious. They have to go to New England. Okay, they have to go to San Francisco. Now, it's bad enough they have to go to San Francisco, but they have to go face a good San Francisco team.
Yep.
And then they come home, and here's Michael Vick and the Eagles waiting for him.
And then they have to go to New Orleans today? Oh, my God.
The bottom line is they go from New England to a West Coast trip, not flying to Chicago.
Exactly.
They're going all the way 3,000 miles, and I don't care what anybody says. Flying takes something out of you. That's why Plexico, he couldn't go with them when he was injured for the cross-country trip.
you know, because of the flying, especially in the air that long. I mean, this is the toughest schedule I've seen in probably 20 years in the NFL.
This is something in football
that I've seen in about 20 years.
They go to New England, they go to Frisco, they come home and face Philly, they go to New Orleans, then they come home and face Green Bay, and then you know what? You want to go on the road again? Guess what? You're going to Dallas, Texas.
But and then they have Washington, which Washington could be they can be. I don't consider them a serious contender this so far, but by the time that they face them in Week 15, that could be the same as facing New England in 3 weeks.
And not only that,
and then they have
because everybody agrees that the Jets are going to right the ship. So for Christmas Eve, guess what Santa Claus brought them? The Jets.
No, the Jets are dead this season. They're going to be the scrubs of the NFL.
Well, you know what? Tomorrow is the road to either
oblivion,
improvement, or becoming a doormat. Dog gang, let's do a quick movie. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel. Sports and Depth is a show. And on Rainbow Soul, the gang. Sea Wings, the everybody's talking about the quarterback from Green Bay. And Dusty, this was a staggering stat. This was a staggering stat on him. Since his inception in the league, in the red zone, I believe that was the thing, in the red zone, he has 63 touchdowns and one INT.
You talking about Aaron Rodgers?
63
Absolutely.
Touchdowns and one. I have to say this, and I didn't think I'd say it. He reminds me of me.
What?
But really,
very good.
63 touchdowns, one INT. They're still undefeated. But what I liked about him was I'll never forget. They had just won that big game against Philly in Philly, and the guy is praising him, and he looked down at the guy with that same look I remember that Jerry West had on his face when NBA All-Star game, West hit the jump shot to win the game. They bring West over, and Jerry, great shot, top of the key. And Jerry looked at the guy. He said, what was the key to the play? And Jerry looked at the guy like he was crazy. He said, man, all we were trying to do was get the ball to Oscar Robertson. And Adrian Rodgers looked at the guy. He says, hey, I've never known one man to win a football game by himself. But how good, Sea Wings, and you're our football genius, how good is Rodgers? With Peyton Manning gone, is he the number one quarterback in football? Because Brady, as great as Brady is, you know, Brady has always had a good cushion, a good foundation. You know, he's always had really superlative players around him and supposedly the best coach of football. How good is Adrian Rodgers, Sea Wings?
You know, as I talk to you guys and Lady A, I'm scared of Aaron Rodgers, and I'm cowering under my bed right now. That's how scared I am of this guy. He may be one of the teams in the last few years, and as we know, it's hard to repeat in the NFL today, back-to-back championships.
Right.
And I can see Green Bay going to the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Yep,
again,
absolutely.
Yeah.
With no doubt about it, Aaron Rodgers scares me. He seems flawless. He seems extremely comfortable. It's like we didn't even have an off season, a lockout, a practice season. It looked like he went straight from the Super Bowl right
into
to the season. And I see it happening again. If he keeps playing like this and stay healthy, who's going to stop him?
He's into his zone.
I need an update on that Cardinal and Milwaukee game. You got one for
10 to 5. St. Louis 10, Milwaukee 5.
10-5.
Top of the fifth inning.
Top of the fifth.
Okay, here's something here. And Rooney, I want you to open this question. I want a quick thought, and I want everybody to move with this quickly. When I left, so I don't need that digestion, so that's I need a 5 minute. You know, nobody's talking about, Rooney, the great job that the manager in Texas has done. He's got his team in the World Series. Nobody, you know, and everybody that talks about him, I remember I was going through some of my, and I got to do this too quick. You know, I got to give this a plug. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth is the show. As you know, our listeners here, the Doc is moving to Brazil, Fortaleza, Brazil, and also I have my site,
I want you to check my sports memorabilia collection. And I was going through my library section where I have a section of all books who are autographed by the authors, Charles Barkley, Pat Riley, Larry Holmes, Doc Gooden, Joe Morgan. And I said, is that the Kirby Puckett book? And I opened the Kirby Puckett book, which is, by the grace of God, is autographed by Kirby. And in that book, Kirby is talking about how advantageous as a coach Ron Washington was to him in that book. And they told the story about Eric Chavez, who won two gold gloves, and he took his first gold glove and inscribed on it to Ron, without you, this would have not been possible. You know, there are people who want to play for this guy. Nolan Ryan told the guys in Texas, don't come here with that nonsense. Get on the mound. Don't look to come off anytime soon in the next 2 days, basically. And the thing I didn't like last night was that they said, well, you know, we had that incident. They didn't have to mention it. This guy, everybody's talking about the great job the guy's done in Tampa Bay, and I think he was overhyped, okay? He don't make the playoffs if Boston don't fold. I think the guy here in New York should have got a whole lot of credit. But Rooney, nobody is talking about the great job that Washington has done, which once again validates the hypocrisy and the racism that is embedded in baseball. This guy, Rooney, has done an outstanding job.
Well, Doc, all you have to see is, the thing about this is you don't really have to go far to plead your case. All you have to do is look at where he's taken them and where they've been the last 2 years. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. Yeah. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. I mean, they're going to be going to the big dance again. I mean, you know, what else do you have to say for him, man? Like you say, guys, they want to play for him. He's obviously getting the job done. He gets the most out of the players. And, I mean, basically, it's self-explanatory what he's done for this ball club and how the players respect him. I mean,
I can almost guarantee that anybody he faces, whether St. Louis or the Brewers, he's going to beat them.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Oh, no doubt about that.
That's the way I look at Texas that way. Right now, St. Louis is up by 10, so what? That doesn't mean anything.
How much is that based on, not that he was a great manager. I mean, you know, he didn't take Young out when Young was hitting, like, what the subway fare used to be, like, you know, 65 cent. And he left the hottest hitter around in the number seven spot. I want to say this, too, real quickly, Dusty.
Nelson Cruz, baby.
Yeah, Latin guy. You Latin's on Nelson. I'm going to tell you something here, you know. These postseason records. These postseason records are postseason records for the playoff. They're not World Series records, and they shouldn't be lumped in with World Series records.
I'm not lumping anything in there.
No, not you, Dusty. I'm saying this for people, and me, and I also want to mention the name of the late Bill Shannon, who's now been a year of his untimely passing. One of the great baseball minds and minds out of Madison Square Garden, as Harold can say, and also a guy who was one of the great baseball writers. And we have both agreed, you know, what you do in the playoffs should not be equal and validated as what you do in the World Series. And real quickly, Dusty, I need you to speak on this so we can move somewhere else. But how much of you picking Washington and his Texas Rangers to win is because of the mindset that Nolan Ryan has embedded in his pitches? Go out there and pitch. Don't worry about no pitch count. You will pitch as long as you have to pitch. Go and pitch.
Well, you know, it could be an incentive, an inducement, because it comes from a Hall of Famer. But I place it all on the manager's feet. The man who is motivated, who's been there, who's been steady. And you are right when you say that the credit doesn't go to anything. They're always picking on him. They're always bringing up the fact that, yes, he had a drug problem. And all that, when he recovered. And cut out the bullshit, man. Leave the man alone. He's led, you know, he's like Cito Gaston. He's led his team to the big dance 2 years in a row. I mean,
you're talking about Gaston, Dusty. Gaston led him, Cito led him there, and won it 2 years in a row.
And won 2 years in a row.
Which hadn't been done in decades.
But this is what I'm telling you, that the team is so into themselves, is so together, that whoever comes in, whether it's St. Louis or the Milwaukee, I can guarantee you that they are going to win. That's how cohesive that team is.
And Harold,
do you have any thoughts on Ron Washington?
No. I have not stayed up with the football, and I used to be a fanatic for football at one time.
Oh,
this
is baseball. This is baseball, man.
Well, baseball. Well, you know, lost me there.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, I used to bet on everything.
hey, Harold. You and Pete Rose, huh?
Right, yeah, me and Pete were going, we were rolling back then. I mean, you know, it was a part of the system.
Was that you at OTB that I saw?
Hey,
I didn't do OTB. I'm not even going to tell you who I did it with, but I didn't do OTB.
Oh, no, yeah, let's
go. Please, can you tell Darryl? Please, Darryl. Come on, Hal, you can tell. Hal, you can talk to us.
Oh, no.
I'm from the old school. You do not say.
Yeah, Hal, we only have about 50,000 people listening, so, you know, no big deal.
Three Wings,
I'm going to take it all the way with me, Mel, right 6 feet under. I will never tell a name.
Well, Hal, they don't make up like you. They don't make up this crew of mine. No, you know what? They're, you know, I remember that great line by Walt Whitman, you know, I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. And there's nothing like this crew. C-Wings, your thoughts. You know, Texas, here's a guy, and I remember Dusty Baker, and a guy came into Dusty's office one day, and he's talking about, you know, black men. And Dusty said, you know what? He said, you know, everybody comes in, they do a quick story. You guys are writers. You do a little story, and nobody writes nothing about to elevate or better the situation. He said, you know, you made a little story, and you're done. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this thing here, and me and we're talking to Jimmy Harris today. It's amazing, you know, the GM from Boston who folded, he gets a job at Chicago. I mean, you mean to tell me there are no qualified black guys that could get? I looked at the sport of baseball. Where is the jobs for Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Ricky Henderson, you know, and Bob Gibson? I mean, you know, Gibson got a job as a pitching coach with the Mets. Only because him and Joe Torre were close friends. I mean, here's a guy who had the greatest ERA of the 20th century, a first ballot Hall of Fame, and I've never heard anybody outside of the Mets have Bob Gibson as a pitcher. The Mets, I was done with them when they screwed over the first Willie, and they just revalued everything when they screwed up the second Willie Randolph. Willie Mays was the coach of the Mets, and this Jane Payson brought him back to New York. And Cleon Jones told me she only brought him back because they wanted to make sure that Willie Mays was financially secure. When she died, the Mets asked Willie, what was his function there? You mean to tell me that there's not an aspect of baseball that Willie Mays didn't excel in, led the league in home runs, led the league in stolen base, only home run hit ever to do it, and you mean to tell me that Willie Mays couldn't stay a coach in the Mets? You know,
the old homeboy network, Doc, you got to understand that.
Wait a minute, let me make this point. Guys hire their friends. I mean, it's crazy. But real quickly, C-Wings, your thoughts on Ron Washington. He's done a great job, doesn't get the pub, no question. As Dusty said, the old boy network. And it's once again, you know, there are no black sports reporters in the press
box. He's my candidate for manager of the year, Washington.
Well, I liked him for that. Everybody's talking about the guy in Tampa Bay. I saw a line one time. I'm going to jump on this because Lady A was talking about the two, and they had a poll last year this time of the players of the day who the writers voted were Hall of Fame bound. And the number one guy was Yvonne LaGuardia, and the number two guy was Albert Pujols. And me and Dusty, we were still at SR Radio, and I did a piece that said they have to be out of their minds. How the hell could Alex Pujols be second to anybody in a balloting like that? Albert Pujols, maybe 2 years ago, is a Hall of Fame player. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer now. He's done stuff that Willie Mays, and that alone gets you in. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Joe DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle didn't do in their first 5 years. And then again, and they're pissed at Albert because he's not on steroids. They haven't caught him on steroids, and he continues to perform. But this guy is the guy who's the only guy in today's players, we're not talking about the G.A. Rods, who's the first ballot Hall of Fame. C-Wings, your thoughts. Ron Washington, great job, doesn't get the credit.
Well, that is very obvious. I mean,
yeah.
The,
forget the fact that he's going to the World Series second back to back. He's the third African American, only the third, not the fifth, not the tenth, the third, which right there is big news. He's only the third African American manager to manage a Major League Baseball team into the World Series.
Yeah.
He's joining Cito Gaston, obviously of the Blue Jays, who took them to the World Series in 93.
Back to back and won it.
In 93. You had Dusty Baker took the San Francisco Giants nearly 10 years ago to the World Series. I mean, it's like Marv Levy with the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, yeah.
Oh, he was a genius because he took them 4 times.
In a row.
He took them 4 times to the Super Bowl and didn't win. That's like telling your kids, I'm going to take you to Coney Island, but we're going to wait outside the fence and just look in there. You're not going to ride the ride. I'm just going to take you there so you can see the ride.
Analogy.
You know, so it's very apparent. I mean, you'll have someone like Tommy Lasorda, who I think was probably the most complaining manager in Major League Baseball.
God.
I mean, Billy Martin, yes, they did win the championships, but no one really mentioned about his drinking problem. And what athlete don't have some sort of vice, such as if it's not women, it's drugs, it's alcohol, gambling, as
don't
we
even
know
look
I'm not going to mention.
You got a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just because, you know, they want to say, oh, he had a drug problem. Okay, and?
They keep highlighting it, yeah.
You know, they really didn't jump on Gastineau too much when, you know, he was using crack.
Yeah.
You know, steroids and crack. Remember, he was a big crack.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to make this point
before we go. I know we're running out of time. I don't mean to interrupt.
I think he's going to go. He's going to win it in six. I give the Rangers in six. Despite of whichever team in the National League wins, I think it's going to be the Cardinals, but. Well, whichever team wins, he's going to be
the
Cardinals,
I want to see Pujols, my baby.
You know, right, I don't think it's going to be a big Holly Watch. I don't think it's going to be a highly watched World Series because the teams that are in there are not
no
in a big market.
Yeah, right.
You know, like the
New York,
Yankees,
LA,
or
Chicago.
That's what you run into, the fickle mind of sports fans and the New York media. I'm enjoying this playoffs. Why? Because there's no New York team in there. There's no team in there. There's no Philly team in there.
But that's no type. Lady A, your thoughts on
you've
heard the panel.
I've seen these
Washington
guys here
done a great job.
Your
thoughts
who I
on
seen
the manager
for a long time. And they're finally
okay,
Dusty, hold tight,
Dusty. Oh my God! Wait, stop! Albert Pujols just got hurt.
Just got
really.
Hurt.
He just got hurt. Oh, my God. That's just what they need right now. St. Louis, the guy was on a running play, running to first base. Albert Pujols just went down.
Okay, Lady A, your thoughts real quick. You've heard about the talking. You have any ideas, opinions on Ron Washington as manager of the Texas Rangers? Done a great, great job. Not getting the kudos, the respect that he should have. And we know it's once again the same old black and white situation.
Right. No, I mean, you know, it's nothing that people haven't dealt with for years. I mean, we all in all professions we deal with that. You know what I mean? But you know, I think it just says a lot about the resiliency of a person, the character of a person, to continue. You know, and listen, like my favorite saying, there's no progress without struggle. If somebody's not willing to take the first step, nobody else is gonna follow. So you got to continue to, you know, to be resilient and do what you got to do. There's no doubt in my mind, a guy, you know. He has what it takes to lead the team to the promised land, you know, and get him to win the series. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, like now with this game right now, you know, we'll see who they're going to face. But I don't know. I think it's going to – I'm actually enjoying the series, like Dusty was saying. I mean, it's good to see different teams for a change, right, to change the flavor and the complexity of what's always going on in baseball. I enjoy it. You know, because you get tired of seeing the same thing all the time. The Yankees every time, the, you know, the same team, the Phillies. I mean, it's nice to see other teams that have character and show and they come to the – they come because they're hungry, you know?
Well, I mean, listen. No, listen, you got to win to get there.
Yeah.
And Derek Jeter, one of the great lines, after, you know, the Yankees had won, they've been in the playoffs, I think, every year, the last 10, 15 years, and they asked Derek – the great Derek Jeter, who wears number two because, like I said, he's second to none. And they asked Derek, you know, does this get old? And Derek said, when he never gets old. Gang, real quick, we've got about a good five. I need real quick. We got some fights coming up this weekend, lady. I want you to start it off with them real quick. We can dovetail it with Destino and Harold. We got a fight, some small guys this weekend. You want to talk about that card?
So small guys this weekend? On the 20th? Yeah, Nonito Donaire and Narvaez are fighting. I like Donaire for that win.
Why?
I just think based on his performance last time, that he just is showing me like a lot more flair, a lot more. Also, there's been some controversy because of who he's working with now, with Victor Conti, which we know was big with the whole steroid scandal thing, going back to Barry Bonds.
Mr. Balco, lady.
Yeah,
Mr.
Balco. But I do think, I mean, he's showing me a lot more flair, showing me that he has developed into a better fighter. I just see him stepping in the ring and probably just dominating this guy. I see it going maybe to, like, the eighth round, and that's it, if that.
Harold, do you know anything about these guys?
Nope. that's the problem. Right, Mel, you don't understand. That's the problem with our sport.
Harold, you said it. You said it.
And who knows them? I mean, nobody knows them. And I mean, back in the day, I mean, there was a few little guys that was known. And I mean, Willie Pep was known, Sandy Saddle was known. I mean, these guys really made a name for themselves. But, you know, with today's time, with these guys coming with these big records and fighting Joe Schmo and the taxi guy and the guy that's Jimmy the Wino on the corner, I mean, you know, it's just like a joke. And then you want to praise him like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, let's get over this whole thing. I mean, the problem is what we're having is that, you know, you're trying to make something that is nothing. And that's our whole, you know, when people look at this whole boxing world and seeing how stupid it is going in a way, I'm not going to use the other word. I mean, I'd rather bring back the boys to be in the sport than what I'm seeing today. Because at least the boys gave us some fights. This joke, these guys are jokers today, these promoters today that I'm looking at, and the guys that think they're managers and trainers. This is like a big joke. I mean, none of these guys would never been in the gym. I mean, walking in the gym talking about I'm a trainer, please. They would have had guys threw them up against the wall and threw them down the stairs.
Not just the trainers that Harold's talking about, but the fighters themselves don't even look like fighters anymore. Half of these guys look like short order cooks from the Waffle House.
Right. There was a kid last night. That's not as an example. There was a kid named Dave Diaz, I think it was. He was 21-0 with 14 knockouts, fighting Kendall Holt, a veteran, for the vacant NFBA, whatever title. This kid, I think my grandson fought better than him. And my grandson's only 4 years old.
And he won, right? Didn't he win?
And he won. He actually beat Kendall Holt, which was a shock.
How did Holt win? Because Brandon Jacobs, who managed him, was irate. He's upset. He feels that Buddy McGirt didn't prepare him for the fight. You agree?
No. But Kendall Holt has gotten to the point, which to me is all mind over matter, that when he gets hit, he loses whatever bravado, because he can hit. He can hit as hard as Randall Bailey.
In other words, he can give it, but he can't take it.
He doesn't seem to take it. And this kid, who threw nothing but rocks from left field, right field, center field, and backfield, was catching him and swelled up his left side of his face. And when he got hit, he lost all of his incentive, and he was on a life support system to survive the 12 rounds. As it was, the fight was so close, because he did get offensive at times. The fight was so close that the one judge gave it to Kendall Holt, but the other two judges gave it to Diaz, and that was well deserved. But the fact is that here's a kid who now is 22-0 with 14 KOs, and is some sort of a half-assed alphabet soup champ. And they're going to groom him to fight
the Tim Bradleys. In the audience, you had Amir Khan. You had Eric Morales. You had Pacquiao in the audience. You had, and one of these guys, especially Eric Morales, will be in line to fight this kid who can't even fight out of a paper bag.
Dusty, in other words, he's in for shot.
Yeah,
hold tight.
Right.
Nobody said that word. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Souls, the channel, Sports and Death is the show. And we're about ready to close it up. We're going to do a little quick minute or two with the mic on, lights off. But I want to thank you again for being on the show. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the rent you pay for your life and earth. I think we say, trust in God. Larry, take us out of here.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
All right, gang, we're gone. I'll shout out to
God bless.
Later. Yep. And Harold, we'll talk to you later. Dusty, Lady A, gang. Yep.
Oh, where's Harold? Bye, Harold.
Y'all take care of yourself. Be
okay,
strong.
Baby.
Hey,
bye.
Hey, Harold, you're still in town, right, for a while?
Yeah, I'm here for about a couple of weeks.
Okay, Lady A, I'll talk to you later. In fact,
okay.
Lady, give me a shot about a half hour. Dusty,
okay.
Keep me updated on the game. Again, Lou Coco, you still with us?
11-6.
Yeah, I'm here, doctor.
11-6. Pretty soon it's starting to sound like a football score here. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm here, doctor.
My 11-6.
Well, the Brewers made about 3 or 4 errors.
That led to runs, huh?
Yeah,
hey, doc, are we going to go to Harold's fight? You said we were going to go to Harold's fight thing. A car. Florida.
We are trying to get down to Florida, but we want to go to his next movie premiere too. And okay, so we got 11-6 score on the Cardinals. Now, Pujols, did he go out of the game, Lady A, or what?
Yeah, it's top of the six right now.
Okay,
so
but
Pujols
is still in or out of the game?
Pujols is still in.
He's
on deck.
That's
yeah,
what
he's
like,
on
you're
deck.
Telling me that because Brandon Jacobs was irate. He was irate, man. For
yeah.
what I usually see him after the game, he was gone. He didn't play, but. He's blaming Buddy McGirt for not having.
No. Buddy McGirt, man, was like Emmanuel Stewart Kendall Hurt. Hurt was not doing what Buddy McGirt was begging him to do.
Really?
He was not doing it. I told you he became gun shy after getting battered by this bum. And what really can you do? I mean, you know, the kid doesn't know how to fight. This is what Harold said, and I agree, because we come from the old, I come from the older school than Harold, but we come from the same background.
Dusty, you were at ringside at David and Goliath.
In fact, I think I was a referee. I don't know.
Let me say this right quick, Doc.
Sure.
We were at a press conference one time, myself and a good doctor here. I can't remember who it was, Dusty and Lady A, but we were at some press conference. And who walks in but Mustafa Hamsho, the man I used to give Marvin Hagler. Just
wow, Mustafa Hamsho.
So
he's a nice guy, that guy, Mustafa Hamsho.
Yeah, but
I met him. He's a sweetheart, that guy.
Yeah, but he has that look in his eye, Lady A. The guy's a fighter, trust me. Anyway, so I'm asking the guy about the preparation for guys, what he thinks of these guys, you know, now. And he says in that voice of his, you heard him, Lady A, these guys are no tough like me and Hagler.
He's 100% right. Yeah, I mean, according to Harold and everybody, he's 100% right. Gang, you leave me with that great line with Walt Whitman. I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. Gang, it ain't that I love everybody else less. I just love you all the best. Talk to you a little later, and it's
God
always
bless.
A pleasure. We're back
Take
in next
pleasure,
week.
Doctor. Thanks.
All right.
See you later,
gang.
Good night, Doc.
Bye, sweetheart.